Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this beautiful day, made glorious not just because of this wonderful spring weather, but because of the life and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, who when he burst forth from the grave, destroyed death, conquered sin, brought righteousness to sinners, and the promised blessing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us now ears to hear and a mighty faith to cling to Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we might be strengthened to love, serve, and joyfully proclaim him. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, lots happened in the last week. If you were here for Palm Sunday, you remember it was quite a blustery day. Sort of reminded me of, you remember Winnie the Pooh, the blustery day. And we still did our blessing of the palms outside, but it was pretty windy. And then it snowed. Remember, we had snow on Monday. And now it's this beautiful spring weather. So a lot has gone on in this past week. So here we are again on Easter Day. And last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we read the Passion Reading, which we often do on Palm Sunday, where we read the story of Jesus' trial and his crucifixion. And today, we read of his resurrection. And in our Passion Reading from last Sunday, Matthew's story mentions that when Jesus died, there were a couple of things that happened, but two things of importance that we focused on last week. One was an earthquake, and then something happened in the temple. Do you remember what that was? That the curtain was torn in two inside the temple from top to bottom, signifying that the barrier between God and his people because of their sin had been torn down from top to bottom. And we talked about that last week. This week, in our gospel lesson on Easter Day, we are told that when the women went to the tomb of Jesus early on that first day of the week, two things happened. What's the first thing that happened when they were on their way to the tomb? There was another earthquake. Right, Matthew said, I don't know if you caught that, but he said, and there was an earthquake. And then what was the cause of the earthquake? What was the second thing that happened that morning? The stone was rolled away. The barrier was removed. So what I want, the image I want to give to you this morning as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead are these two images from our gospel lessons, these two symbols of these barriers. The curtain and the stone. It sounds like it should be like a C.S. Lewis book or something like that, right? So our theme is from the curtain to the stone. Okay. So here's the take-home point here. So when the curtain was torn in two, it was something supernatural that was done by God in the physical world, and it represented something that God did to take down the barrier between himself and his people. The barrier between his holiness and our sinfulness. Because remember, God takes both of those very seriously. He takes our sinfulness very seriously, and he takes his own holiness very seriously. And the day that Jesus died, the sacrifice for our sins was completed. And God therefore says, the barrier's down. On Easter morning, when the stone was rolled away, what was the barrier? Was it the barrier between God and us, or between us and him? In other words, was the stone removed so that Jesus could get out? Help, I'm alive, but I'm stuck in here. Or, that's okay, we can laugh in church, even if it's at the minister, that's okay. It means you're listening. So, amen, sister. Or, was it removed so that Jesus' followers could see in and know that what God had done was real. So we can see between the veil and the stone, God was removing barriers between himself and his people. When he removed the curtain, it was ostensibly the barrier between himself and us. But when he removed the stone, it was as if he was removing the barrier between us and him, that we were now able to see the great things that he has done. Because otherwise, all his followers would have seen is just still a stone lying in front of the tomb. Because we know that Jesus didn't have as much difficulty with physical barriers after his resurrection. Remember that the disciples are hiding in the upper room and all of a sudden, Jesus just kind of appears in front of them. Like, you know, he didn't open the door and say, hey guys, I'm here. He just appeared. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't think the stone was keeping Jesus in the tomb. I think the rock was rolled away so that his followers could look in. That barrier, the barrier of their knowledge, their understanding, their sight of what God had done for them would be taken away. And so it's from the veil to the stone that we then understand this great salvation that God has given us, the great things that he has done. Not what we have done for him, but what he has done for us. That's why the gospel requires of us faith. That we hear the message from the veil to the stone. That we hear what God has done and trust it. Knowing that it is real. That our sins have been forgiven. And that God, like a loving father, embraces his lost and sinful children. And he doesn't do it in a way that says, there, all the wrong things you did really weren't that bad. It doesn't work that way. He says, yes, all the bad things that humanity have done were in fact that bad. So bad that Christ had to die for them, not just get a paper cut for them. Right? And so what this means, and I'm going to close with this. As we understand Easter from the veil to the stone and the barriers that God has removed between us and him and between him and us, that we walk away knowing that there's a difference between what the gospel is and what the gospel does. What the gospel is a message. It's a declaration of what God has done. And St. Peter, in our reading from Acts this morning, when he gets up in front of the crowds and he's telling them the good news, what's really interesting is he's not talking about himself. If anybody could have gotten up in front of the crowds and said, hey, let me tell you how Jesus changed my life, let's be honest, it could have been Peter. He says, I was just a fisherman when Jesus found me, and look at me now, I'm in charge of a church, or whatever, you know. Or he could have said, just a week ago, I was craven and running, and I betrayed my master, but now I'm courageous, and I'm talking about him. He could have been saying that, and it would have been true. But when he gets up in front of the crowds, what's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus and what he has done. He says that this Jesus, who was attested by God before you by his mighty acts, was put to death by being hung on a tree, and that God raised him again on the third day so that those who believe in him might have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of an inheritance of eternal life. Right? That's what the good news is. And what Peter experienced is what the good news does. And what the trap we can fall into is to try to confuse the two. As if to say, the good news is me and my life transformed. Right? Because then if you do that, then all of a sudden the gospel becomes all about me and my performance. So I better keep it all together. And if you're the kind of person that doesn't have it all together, well then, you're really out of luck. But if the gospel is something that is declared to you, it's done already, then we just hear and receive it as we are. As the beautiful messes that we are. And I can say, you know what, my life really hasn't been transformed, but I know Christ is alive. And he has taken away my sin. Hallelujah. And you know what that does? Change you. It produces something in you, a love for God that you may not have had before, an appreciation for what God has done, and an understanding about what he's done for you, and also a tenderness to others who are glorious messes like yourself. And an eager expectation to see them come to know the gospel and experience Christ's saving power. Not because of the change, but because of what Christ has done. And so we understand that there is a very important difference between what the gospel is and what the gospel does. And we understand what this wonderful gospel is of Christ alive when we look at the veil and when we look at the stone and we see and know the barriers that God has taken down between him and us and between us and him, that we might know life and we might know his love and that we might walk in joy. Amen.